one of the distinctives of the college that I went to was the honor system. And so anytime we took an exam, the teacher or the professor wasn't allowed to stay in the room to watch us on the exam because he relied that we would, on our own honor, not cheat. And so we had to leave the room, and the students took the exam by themselves. He would come back in every 10 minutes or so to see if the students had any questions, but he wasn't allowed to proctor or monitor. And so at the end of the exam or the paper, we had to write on our test paper, "On my honor, I have neither given nor received unauthorized aid on this exam." And I shared with you 3 weeks ago that I was in a dilemma because I had failed. I don't know what happened to my mind, but I was writing a paper and I appealed to outside sources. So I was using unauthorized help on my exam. And furthermore, I might have even plagiarized. And so I had violated the honor code. And what was going to be the penalty for that? I don't know. So I had failed. And I shared with you that story as we were looking at a faltering faith. And this morning, I want to continue with part two of the failing or faltering faith as we look at the story, as we continue and finish the story of Abram, Sarai, and Hagar. Now, we saw faltering with the stars of our story, Abram and Sarai, and how were they going to bounce back? How are they going to bounce back from the failure that they had just experienced? We aren't going to see it in their own lives, but we're going to see it in the foil, if you will, to the story, and that is Hagar. How did she demonstrate to us how we can have a fervent faith? So if you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 16, we're going to continue on and looking at, once we have failed, we can learn about lessons from others' failures, but how can we bounce back? How can we come from a faltering faith to a fervent faith? We'll be finishing up verses 7 through 16 as we look into this. Before we look at the response of Hagar, one important item to keep in mind is, as we think about faith, the important aspect towards faith is what we place the object of our faith. And many of you have seen me do this illustration, is that, you know, if I want to hold myself up, that I'm gonna trust. The important aspect of faith is not how much faith I have, right? So, but it's what's the object of my faith. And so it's not like this faith I want to churn up and I say, "Whoa, I gotta go work up my faith. I gotta work up my faith. Okay, come on. I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith. And then I get held up, right? That's not the key. It's okay if I just, I don't know. See, the key is, what is the object? The key to faith is not how much, you know, how much faith, churn up that faith. Because like I show you, you guys seeing me in the baptism class, right? What if I have a lot of faith in this piece of paper, right? Okay, yeah, come on, have faith, have faith, have faith. Oh, man, I did it again. Golly. See, it doesn't matter how much faith you have, right? It's the key is the object of your faith. And so as we as we look about how to have a fervent faith, the more we get to know that object of our faith, that, you know, that chair has four legs, it's very steady, the more confidence that we'll have in what it can do for us. And so in the same way, as we think about fervent faith, we want to learn, who is this God that we are putting our faith in? And so to start off, verse 7, it doesn't have this in the ESV, but it says, the angel of the Lord. I think there should be a but there, okay? Because we just came through with Sarah and Abraham. Do we have the PowerPoint here? But we learned that Sarai and Abram, they had a faltering faith because they focused on God's lack of provision, right? Whereas we want to say, always have I ever. They focused and relied on their own machinations, on their own self. And they violated God's principles, even though it was culturally acceptable to impregnate a surrogate woman. That was against God's principles, even though the culture said it was okay. And then it had negative results, so much so that Sarai began to afflict. She began to afflict Hagar. And as a result, Hagar flees. So this is the bad situation we are in. And you may be in a bad situation this morning. You may be in a state, in a circumstance of affliction, where there may be someone who is afflicting you at school or at work or even in your own home. And it's a bad scenario. And in this scenario, how can we have not a faltering faith like Abram and Sarai, but how can we have a fervent faith? And the first thing is that we want to focus on God. Just like I said, as we learn more about the object of our faith, that is key to helping us have a fervent faith. And so we want to focus on God. And so in this situation here, where Sarai has inflicted abuse upon Hagar, Hagar is fleeing. And then in verse 7, I think there should be a but there. But the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. So when the chips are down, when you're in a tough situation, when you're not getting along with your parents, with your child, with your spouse, with your coworker, with your boss, when the chips are down, but God, but the angel of the Lord, and I think this represents God, but the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. Look at the imagery there. We're in a desert. We're in a wilderness. But the Lord found her by the streams in the desert. So when the chips are down, whatever you're going through this morning, you're not getting along with someone, remember, focus on the Lord. He is one who seeks and finds. He's like that heat-seeking missile that's on your tail, and he's going to find you. He's like that bachelor who's at that retreat, chasing after that woman, going to all her workshops because she's there. That's what God is doing. He's chasing after you. He's seeking you. He's going to find you. So the first thing we want to focus on is who God is. He's a God. He's going to seek you out. He's going to find you. He's going to find you at that spring in the wilderness. That word spring is also used for the word I. Okay? Keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that. Then, in verse 8, and he said, Hagar,
servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? God understands. God is a God who understands. Now, we all know that God is omniscient, right? Right? He knows everything. So why, you know, what's God doing here? Is this like God, you know, he don't know the answer? He don't see everything? Hey, Hagar, where are you going? Where you been? I know I'm God. I know the answer to my own question. But I'm going to ask you, what's going on there? Well, I think that God, the narrator is showing us what kind of God we have. He's a God who wants to let you tell him what's going on. He wants you to allow you to express yourself and give him the scoop and tell him what's up. And so this is why he asks, we see this in the story, where are you going? Where have you come from? And so Hagar expresses herself. She tells God, she said, I'm fleeing from my mistress, Sarai. So God is a God who wants to allow us to tell him everything that's going on. And he's a God who gets it, right? I know we like to say that, at least in my generation right now. I get that. I get it. You know, or he just doesn't get it. Well, God is a God who gets it. And continuing on, God, he is a God who commands and promises. Look at verses 9 and 10. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. Now, we're going to see later on that that's a pretty super command, but that's what God gives, the command to Hagar. And then in verse 10, remember what happens? When God gives us a super command, what does he follow it with? Super command, super promise. That's right, super promise. Look at a super promise in verse 10. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely... And here it is, I will multiply. That word is used twice. I will multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. Super command, but also a super promise. And then here is the crux of what we want to learn about God, verses 11 to 14. He's a God who sees and hears. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. So there was a little bit of a negative part to the promise or the prophecy, because there was going to be conflict between Ishmael and the descendants of Sarai or others. Verse 13, so she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing, for she said, truly here I have seen him who looks after me. Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. So our God is a God who hears and sees. And isn't that wonderful that our God is a God who understands, who hears, and he sees everything that we're going through? I know I appreciate that when someone understands, when he sees, when she sees, when he hears what I'm experiencing, especially if it's some kind of affliction. A couple of weeks ago, my brother and son, Nathaniel, he came home from basketball practice, and he was down. He was depressed. And mom wanted to find out, Nathaniel, what's wrong? Well, what had happened is that at basketball practice, coach yelled at the team. He raised his voice. He said, I've had enough. You guys aren't listening. And I have to start raising my voice so you guys will listen to me and do what I tell you to do. I'm raising my voice. I hate to do this, but I'm going to do that so you will listen to me. And when Nathaniel heard that, he thought the coach was bashing on him, that you are a bad person, when in actuality, Nathaniel was, he's a good basketball student, and he was listening to the coach. It was all the other guys, you see? That's how it always is in my house, right? It's the other children who are messing up, not mine. But the key, one of the keys was, I understood. You know why? Because I was there. And I saw it. I saw the yelling. And I heard it. I heard him raise his voice. And I hope he doesn't listen to this on the video recording because, you know, I haven't told him yet personally. But it's okay. But I got it because I saw and I heard. And whatever experience you're going through this morning, know that God is a God who sees and he hears. And what a great way to remember that he is that God, than naming your own child the God who hears. You know, most cultures, they like to have meaning to their name, right? Like my Chinese name is Huaizu, which means remembering my country, okay? Or remembering my ancestors. And most cultures like to do this, and including the Hebrew culture. Can you imagine just the remembrance that would be every time that Sarai or Hagar called out to their son, the God who hears, come to dinner. The God who hears, go milk the cows. Oh, it's okay, God who hears, it's okay. Peek-a-boo, God who hears, peek-a-boo. You know? Man, what a reminder that is the God that we serve. And so let us remember that's the word, Ishmael, right? The Shema is hear, O Israel. That is the cognate of that word, Ishmael. This is the God who hears. So for you guys, we got to remember, he is the God who hears, okay? You can plug in your earplugs to remember that he's a God who hears. He hears what's going on, and he's a God who sees. He knows exactly what's going on in your life, and he can see right now you're having trouble. You're having that problem at home. He sees it. He knows it. He's there, and he understands, and he sees that you're studying the Bible right now, that you are fervently paying attention to him, right? Because that's the God that we have. The God who sees and hears. And so knowing this, how can we respond? Fervent faith focuses on God. We can exercise our faith in God through praise. We can praise him as the God who sees, and there's the God who hears. Look again at verse 13. There, Hagar, she not only calls upon the name of the Lord, she calls. This is the first instance where we have someone naming the Lord. Naming often has this connotation of having authority over someone. And this is what Hagar does. She doesn't have authority over God, but this is something remarkable that she does. She names the Lord, you are a God of seeing. So she actually praises him. And so we too, as we're going through our difficult situation, as we're under barrenness, as we're under affliction at home with our spouse, with our coworker, let us praise God as the God who sees and as the God who hears, as the God who understands. Let us also call out to God. Call out to God. P-C. C is to call out or to cry to God. And so whatever our situation is, we tell God exactly what's going on. Lord, you know I'm having this problem at home. Lord, you know I'm having this problem at school. Lord, you know I'm having this problem at work. And I need your help. And so we call out to him. Even if it's just that simple prayer, just say, help, help. That's good, okay? So we can practice those two right now. Can you just praise God? God, I praise you as the God who sees and hears. Can you say that? God, I praise you as the God who sees and hears. And you think of that circumstance that you're in, that person you're not getting, who's afflicting you, that barren situation, and you just tell God, God, help me. That's it, okay? And so this week, as you're out and you're driving in your car, okay? And so you're driving in your car, you got an empty seat right next to you. You're driving in. Now, if you guys are not driving yet, okay? But you're sitting in the back seat. So you're sitting there, you're driving. And then you just think, God is right here. He's right here next to me. He sees everything that's going on. He hears and he understands. And so you tell God what's going on. Lord, and I did this last week. I was coming home from the car repair shop. I said, Lord, you know that I just saw some TV shows that were that. Lord, you know what's going on. God, you know what's going on. I know you see it. I know, I praise you. You're the God who hears. You're the God who sees. I need your help, God. All right? And you just talk to God right there in the car. Or if you're sitting in the back seat, you talk to God. Or you're riding the bus. Because God is right there. So we praise God. And we call out to him as the God who sees and hears. And as the God who can help us. And this is found all throughout the scriptures. We're going to be studying Exodus next. But remember when the Israelites were under affliction from the Egyptians, here was the scenario. During those many days, the king of Egypt died. The people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help, help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard. He heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Exodus 2, 23 to 25. Further on in Exodus 3 and 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. So praise God. Praise God. He sees it. He knows. And just knowing that he sees, that he knows, that he gets it, that he understands, can bring comfort and give us faith just to know that he knows. And so this week, friends, I want to encourage us with the difficult situation that you're in, to praise God as the God who sees and as the God who hears, the God who understands. Now you might ask, well, Pastor Way, what about, it doesn't always feel like God does get it, or maybe he doesn't understand, or it doesn't feel like he sees or understands what I'm going through. What do I do then? I just have a couple of thoughts and comments on that. And the first is that, I'm sorry. But before I get to that, it's a good thing I have my PowerPoint here. After we call out to God, we wait upon God. And then obey. obey the Lord. And we see that Hagar has done this. In verses 15 and 16, it doesn't say that she returned to Sarai, but she did, right? In verse 15, Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Now remember, this was a super command. This was difficult for Hagar to do because Sarai was afflicting her. And you may be reluctant to return to a situation where it's difficult. But Sarai, Hagar did that. She went back. She obeyed obeyed the Lord. And you may ask, well, sometimes I don't sense that God does see, that God does hear, that God does understand. And my challenge, my response is first that, yes, he does. He does understand because he himself sent his own son who suffered affliction, who suffered pain, who suffered barrenness. And so God does understand what we're going through. So take confidence in that. And also that the Lord, he will He will, based on his understanding of what we're experiencing, he will fulfill his promises. But we have to be clear on what his promises are. He hasn't promised us straight A's. He hasn't promised us that we will win every basketball game. He hasn't promised us that we will get ones on our orchestra performances. He hasn't promised us that we will have a six-figure income. We have to be clear on what the Lord has promised us. He has promised us eternal life. He has promised us forgiveness of sins. He has promised us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we're waiting on these promises to yet be fulfilled. Even Abraham himself, he didn't even see his grandchildren. He only saw one child. But he welcomed these promises from a distance. And so we too must be clear. And in fact, some of what God promised us was quite unattractive. In this world, you shall have tribulation. So what the Lord has actually promised us is blood, sweat, and tears. So I want to challenge us this morning in the circumstance of affliction that we're in to praise the Lord as the one who sees and hears, to call out to him to assist us, to help us, to deliver us in our affliction, to wait upon him, and to obey. And I know that can be difficult. But PC woe, praise, cry out, wait upon him, and obey. PC woe. And that might be difficult. I was in a situation where I was in Asia. I've told you guys before where we had a neighbor who just harassed us constantly. And he would bang on our window bars anytime we made noise that was beyond what he wanted. And I hated living in that situation. I abhorred it. Now, it wasn't necessarily the will of God that I absolutely had to live there and I couldn't move away. But for a period of time, I believe that the Lord wanted me to remain under that situation and to learn some things and to confront that person and to confront that situation. And eventually, God did deliver us. We left Asia. We moved back to America, so no more neighbor problem, right? But But you may be in that situation this morning where you're facing a spouse, or you're facing a boss, or you're facing a bully at school, and you want out. You want to flee, and you don't want to go back. But it could very well be that the Lord is saying, I want you to remain in that situation, sister, and learn some things. And maybe at one time he will take you out of the situation. And so it takes a lot of discernment and prayer. But in that situation, praise the Lord for who that he knows what's going on. Call out to him for help. Wait upon him and use discernment on how can I obey God in this situation. So I was in a situation where I had failed, and I didn't know what I was going to do. But after some prayer, I decided I would approach my professor. So I went and I talked to Dr. Kohlstad, who was my history of philosophy professor. And I told him, Dr. Kohlstad, I think I may have violated one of our class rules. I may have violated the honor code. You see, on our final paper, I consulted an outside book by Norman Geisler to write this paper. And so I think I broke one of the class rules and violated the honor code of our university. So I just wanted to tell you that because, Dr. Kohlstad, I'm a Christian, and I believe that this is the right thing and what God wants me to do. And I'm willing to undergo whatever disciplinary action you think is appropriate. So Dr. Kohlstad, he looked at me and he said, Well, this is a very unusual and unique situation that someone would come forth. I appreciate your honesty and your telling me this. But he could have, exacted quite some severe disciplinary measures. And he told me, he said, "Wei, here's what we'll do. Why don't you rewrite the paper? Don't look at any outside sources. Hand the paper back into me, and I will regrade your paper. I'll probably penalize you for what you've done, and we'll go from there." So I went back. I rewrote my paper. I handed it back into him. He looked it over. He consulted the work. And then he called me back in. And he said, Wei, it does look like you violated our class rules. And so I'm going to regrade your paper, and then that will be the end of it. So he did regrade my paper. Originally, I had made an A on the paper. I had an A in the class. When he regraded it, he docked it down. I think it was to a B or something like that. And then as a result, coming out of the class, I got a B plus in the class. So I lost my A, but I gained my integrity. And so friends, we're going to go through a lot of trials, a lot of testing, a lot of ups and downs in our lives. And sometimes, like Abram and Sarai, we're going to fail. We're going to falter. But when we do, let us learn from Hagar. Let us focus on God. Let us praise him as the one who sees, as the one who hears. Let us call out to him. Let us wait upon him and then respond in obedience. Okay. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you that you do see, you do hear us, and that you are the God who sees, you are the God who hears. And Lord, help us to praise you, to call out to you whenever we're facing afflictions.
give us the strength to obey you. And thank you, Lord, for your great promises as we step out in obedience to you. We pray in Jesus' name.
Please rise.